So how many of you believe that if you had just a little bit more money, your life would be better? You'd be have an easier life for the things that are going on in your life. Come on, be honest. $10,000. If I gave you $10,000 today, I mean, that would make you a little happier, right? We all know, or we all believe, that if we had just a little bit more, then we would be happy. When we look at how we live and what we have and how we behave, it almost seems like we take a lot of bad advice and apply that to our lives and behave in those ways. Will you look with me again at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7? Actually, godliness is a great source of profit when it is combined with being happy with what you already have. We didn't bring anything into the world, and so we can't take anything out of it. We'll be happy with food and clothing. Did you all eat in the last week? Raise your hand if you didn't eat in the last week. Hope there's no hands up. Do you have on clothes? Okay, if you don't have clothes on, this is not the place to come without clothes. I know you have clothes to put on. Most of us, we're just not content, though. Why? Why are we not content with what we have? I think it's because we all buy into that little lie of, if I had just a little bit more, then life would be easier. That would make me happy with just a little bit more stuff. I had come across this Gallup poll a while ago, and the question was asked, people that make $30,000 a year, how much do you think you would have to make if you made $30,000 a year in order to be happy? And the answer that they came up with was $74,000 a year. And they asked the same question of people that made $50,000 a year. What would you need to make in order to be happy? And the answer, if you made $50,000 a year, was they thought $100,000 a year would make them happy. They asked people that made $100,000 a year what it would take for them to be happy. They said about $160,000 a year. You see, no matter what we earn, we always want just a little bit more because we think that's where happiness would lie. But I think the fact is cost of living just kind of goes up for us. I remember several years ago when I was getting my real estate license, I was taking classes at U.S. Brokers Institute, and Dave Geldhoff, who owned it and was the instructor, he told us this, that realtors make more money per dollar of education than any other field that you could possibly be in this country. And that is true. Realtors can make that much money. But Dave said that doesn't mean that you're going to be rich. So what happens is right now y'all came in here and y'all had a shirt on. And you probably went to Kmart or Target and bought that shirt, and the shirt cost you $20. He goes, now you're going to get this big commission check and you're going to need a shirt. Well, that $20 shirt's not enough for you anymore. Now you go to a more expensive store and you buy a $40 shirt. A shirt's a shirt, but your cost of living just went up, so now you're not going to be rich. So how much would make you happy? I mean, really think about that. How much would you have to earn each year to really be happy? Probably most of us, probably all of us, are thinking just a little bit more than what I'm making right now. Will you look at me at this parable that Jesus taught us in Luke chapter 12? It says, a certain rich man's land produced a bountiful crop. He said to himself, what will I do? I have no place to store my harvest. Then he thought, here's what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. That's where I'll store all my grain and my goods. I'll say to myself, you have stored up plenty of goods, enough for several years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. You see, this is how most of us live. We hope for a little bit more. And if we get just a little bit more, then we think we can calm down, we can be happy, we can enjoy life. If I had a little bit more money, then I'd be able to do the things that I want to do. If I had a little bit better body, then I'd look better on the beach and I'd be able to wow the women. If my marriage was just a little bit closer, a little bit tighter, or if I could find that special someone to marry, then I'd be happy. When we get married, we think, boy, if I could just have a kid or four, then those kids, they'd make me happy. And then we have those kids, and we think, boy, if my kids would just get out of the house, then I could finally find true happiness. You know, some of y'all, you've got boomerang kids. You throw them out, and they turn around, and they come back somehow. And we're not really sure how that happens. Some of you are really good at building these barns to store things up. We pay a lot of money to rent buildings to store our stuff. Let's continue to look in chapter 12 of Luke. But God said to him, "Fool, tonight you will die. Now who will get all the things you have prepared for yourself? This is the way it will be for those who hoard things for themselves and aren't rich towards God." God is telling most of us this, that we hoard things that aren't rich to God and to our faith and to our eternal lives. We need to be content. Not with what we can have, but with what we do have. We need to know that we are truly blessed. We live in the greatest country in the world. We have freedoms that most other people don't understand. Even other countries that have freedom of religion don't have the freedom of religion that we have. We have these blessings of wholesale stores that we can go to where we can't even reach the top shelves to buy the stuff that we need. There's so many people in the world, they don't have stores to go into. They don't have a way to get the things that we need to survive at times. We need to be satisfied with the things that we do have instead of always thinking, if I had just a little bit more. Well, today is my last opportunity to share my bad advice with you. So I'm going to take this time to share the best bad advice that I could come up with one more time. So if you feel like you're blessed by God, if you feel like life seems good, that things are going good, maybe even things are going great, and if you want to be miserable, well, you can follow this bad advice. I'm going to show you how to be miserable in life. How to be dissatisfied with what you have. The first thing I think you should do is focus on being ungrateful. Just put all your energy into being ungrateful. That's my best bad advice that I can come up with. So Paul said, taught the Thessalonians to rejoice always, to pray continually. He says to give thanks in every situation, because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So Paul's saying to give thanks. I say my bad advice is to complain. Don't give thanks, but complain about what you have or what you don't have. Complain about not having enough. Resent God for blessing others. I mean, God's blessing people that you know you're better than them. So focus on being ungrateful and that God should be blessing you more than anybody else and be dissatisfied, be jealous of what other people have. You know, there's people that have better stuff than you, so be jealous of that. Be critical of the way that they behave. Point out, you know, you're better than them, so be critical of those things. Be envious of your neighbor. That's my bad advice, be envious. Look across the street or down the street, somebody's got a new car. Think you deserve that new car. They don't deserve that. When somebody at work gets a raise, get mad at your boss for giving them the raise because you work harder than them, don't you? So you should be getting all these raises. Be jealous of your friends and family that have good marriages. Be jealous when friends and family, people you know, when they go on vacation. Get angry and bitter about that you know, you should be on vacation, not them. You work harder than them. So focus on being ungrateful. That's my best bad advice. Never be grateful for anything. Here's some more bad advice. If you want to follow this because you want to be miserable, then compare what you have to people who have more. Paul told the Corinthians to not compare yourselves with others, but I say compare your house with the rich and famous. You know, there's TV shows that have all of the celebrity homes on them and stuff. Look at those $8 million, $12 million homes. Be jealous of that. Be envious of that. Compare your little house with all that you need in it to those type of houses. So every chance you get, compare yourself to the rich and famous. Compare your salaries to your boss's salary. I remember when I was in my 20s and I was working for Greg and Randy Bode. I remember, you know, I was the young guy in the company, and Randy had a new house, he had a new truck, he had new snowmobiles, he had a nice boat, he had a camper, he had all these things, and I was comparing what he had to what I had, and I thought, that's not fair. Just because he owns the company and I'm the flunky, I should have those things too, amen? Guys, I got some really good advice for you here. Compare yourselves. As we age, we thin out on the top. Maybe you're not like me, but if you're thinning out on the top, go to college campuses. Find those 20-year-old guys with full heads of hair. Compare your hair to those guys' hair and be jealous that they've still got it together out there. I think that, you know, that comparison would be great. Compare your marriage, the problems of your marriage to people that on the outside have perfect marriages. So compare what you have with people that have much more. If you want to be miserable in life, you can follow this direction. Another thing, pursue the temporary possessions over the eternal treasures. Jesus said, watch out, guard yourself against all kinds of greed. After all, one's life isn't determined by one's possession, even when somebody is very wealthy. What? We all know that life is all about what we have. I mean, if we want to be dissatisfied, we just look at what we have. We should care about what we have compared to other people. We should want these temporary things because, you know, the more is better, right? Why settle when you can have more? Why settle when you can have something bigger? I remember when I got my boat like 17 years ago, you know, I got this 20-foot boat, and everybody warned me that I'd get this disease when you buy a boat. How many of you have a boat? We get a disease when we purchase those boats. It's called footitis. We have a 20-foot boat, you want a 22-foot boat. When you have a 30-foot boat, you wish you had a 36-foot boat. And there's truth to that. Every boat owner I know has footitis, and we want something just a little bit bigger. Well, there's so many things in life that we get footitis for. We want just a little bit more. We want something just a little bit better. Another thing for bad advice is we could develop an attitude of entitlement. In Romans 6, verse 32, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In other words, Paul is saying that we deceive ourselves. We deceive ourselves in wanting more and thinking that more is better. You know, we think that life is hard, so we deserve a new car. Life isn't fun when we go to work, so we deserve a new boat, maybe a bigger boat. We deserve one of those smartphones that's smarter than us and teaches us all the things that we need. Okay, I lost you at smartphones, didn't I? Here's one that I know we all fall into. We deserve a little ice cream after every meal. That's where happiness lies, isn't it? How many of you have eaten a meal and, oh, I'm just stuffed, I couldn't possibly eat another bite, and then the waitress comes and offers you a free scoop of ice cream? Have you ever turned down that free scoop of ice cream? No, there's always room for ice cream. That's where happiness lies. We believe these TV promises and the ads that just a little bit more would make our better lives. But does it? I mean, where is true happiness? Is it in more things? Is it in better things? If you want to be dissatisfied, here's my best advice. You can all follow parts of this. Some of you can probably follow all of this. So you can try this today. When you go home, when you're driving down the road or you turn into your driveway, push that button that makes your garage door go up. Remember having to get out of your car at one point? You don't have to do that anymore, most of us. You just push that button. Now pull into your garage. Don't push the button to close the garage door yet. Walk out into the driveway, look down the street. Somebody on your street's got a new car. Somebody's got one that's got better gas mileage than yours. Somebody's got that sports car that you've longed for, or that big SUV because you want to take up the whole road and let people respect you in that way. Complain about your car not being as good as theirs. You don't even have to do this part because, you know, I mean, you can go into your house and you used to have to set your thermostat. Now most of us, probably all of us, have a digital one where the temperature is always perfect in our houses. It's the perfect temperature during the day. If you're like me, it cools off at night so that you can sleep better in the cool and you save a couple bucks too, win-win. I mean, make sure that, just double check it. Make sure that this is the perfect temperature in your house. Go sit on your couch or in your favorite chair, that comfy place. Turn on the TV. You know, you either have cable where you can watch anything. Even antenna TV now has got 30 channels or something ridiculous. Watch what you want. Maybe you can stream the perfect show or movie or put a DVD in and watch exactly what you want to watch. Okay, get up out of that chair or that couch. Walk into your room, your bedroom. And maybe some of you have a room inside of that room that you can step into that just holds that bedroom for your clothes. They have a fancy term for that, walk-in closet. Do you have that room that you walk into for your closet? I just have that stand in front of closet, but if you can walk into it, it's even better. You can look at all your clothes. Just look at what's in there. And now say out loud, I have nothing to wear. Okay, if you want to follow the best bad advice that I can muster up to be dissatisfied, do this every day. If you do that every day, I guarantee you will be dissatisfied with what you have. And you'll develop this attitude of entitlement. That's really bad advice, isn't it? I really hope that you don't want to follow any of this advice, but I think that the truth is most days, this is how we live. This is the things that we do and we don't even really realize it. I hope that this series of being very sarcastic, overly sarcastic, has revealed that how we act and live is what people see. And what people see is that it seems like we're taking all this bad advice and we're following all these things that the world tells us to do. Well, I want to try and tie in today kind of my big thought for the last 4 weeks. And how we live reveals what we believe. Now, many of us, our lives are saying what Christ offers is not as good as what the world offers. You know, a few weeks ago, I talked about how to drift from God, and you know, you see those shiny things in the world, and we start focusing on those things in the world, and we drift away from God. And I keep hearing people talk about that picture that I painted of the guy that had the truck when he's dating and his girlfriend was right next to him and holding hands in the truck going down the road, and then after years of marriage she was sitting in the proper seat next to him and asked him the one day, you know, why don't we sit next to each other and hold hands? And the guy finally wisely said, well, it's not me that moved over. It's not God that moved over either. I promise you, God does not drift from anyone. God doesn't leave us. God is always God, and God is always there. But sometimes we drift from God. A couple weeks ago, I talked about addictions, and we get addicted to these things in our lives, and it's really God that offers peace and joy and freedom in our lives, but we fall into these traps of things, and we wake up, and all of a sudden, we've got these addictions that we need to conquer. Last week, Amy and I talked about adultery, and we live in this world that's not so much better or worse, or for better or for worse anymore. It's what's in the moment, and we think the grass is greener, and what we really need to do is water our own lawn because the grass isn't really greener, it's just another shade of green. And we fall into these things, and so today we're talking about being dissatisfied. You want to be satisfied? Know that Christ is life. Christ is true life because Jesus gives us so much love that we can't even comprehend it, and it just fills us so deeply when we know that Christ is our life. And yet so often we think, if I had just a little bit more. And we fall into this trap of being dissatisfied because we focus our eyes on what the world has to offer instead of what Jesus has to offer. You know, gratitude. Gratitude is what turns what we have into enough. If we're grateful people, then we're happy people. Because we know that we have Jesus in our hearts, in our lives. If you feel like you're dissatisfied with what you have in the world, here's my encouragement to you. Maybe you'll have to save up. Maybe you've already got enough money to do it. Take a trip to a third world country. Or a second world country if you don't dare go to a third world country. Or downtown Grand Rapids. Or Detroit or Kalamazoo. If you want to see people that don't have, they're all around us. Compare what you have to them for once. I've loved the amazement of my kids when they do mission trips with me. You know, we're in Haiti or Jamaica or wherever we go for a week, and the first thing that we do when we get home is not turn on the TV, because they realize that TV's ridiculous. We don't need TV to be happy. But yet so often we find ourselves being bored in life or whatever, and we turn on the TV, and yet we're still dissatisfied. My kids are amazed that, you know, these kids, little 13-year-old kids, their job is to grab a 5-gallon bucket and they put it on their head instead of carry it by the handle, because it's actually easier to put it on your head because your whole body carries it then. And they'll have to walk 2 miles to get water that's not even clean water for the family. And then they have to walk 22 hours back carrying a 5-gallon bucket with 4 gallons of water up a mountain on some dirt road that I can't even hardly walk on, not carrying a bucket. And I swear they don't drop a drop of water in that whole walk. Compare yourself to people like these and you'll know that you have more than enough stuff. And you'll know that Jesus is blessing your life. And you'll become so grateful that you can't help but praise the Lord Almighty in all of your acts, because then you're only going to be focused on eternity and where salvation will lead you and what God's offering. And it's not the things of the world, and it's not something we did or something we earned. But God's love is so strong that he wants to spend eternity with each and every one of us. Paul said this in Philippians 3, verses 7 and 8. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. All the world stuff, that's nothing. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I gain Christ. Now that last line, here's a Greek lesson for you. I consider them garbage. Now, garbage is not a good translation for the Greek word that I forget what the word was, and I didn't write it down. The actual translation is human waste. I consider it human waste that I gain Christ. And I think that in English, that we didn't want to put the S word in our Bibles, because that's actually a true translation. I consider it all human waste, except that I have Christ. Paul knew that everything in his life didn't matter. What mattered is that every step he took was with Jesus. Every step he took, the Holy Spirit led. Because when he's doing these steps, he knew where eternity was going to be. And he knew that what mattered in his life, what matters in each and every one of our lives, is Jesus. It's the only thing that matters is Jesus. Because Jesus teaches us how to love God. Jesus teaches us how to love one another. Christ is enough. Christ is enough. You know what, actually, That's more bad advice. Real good advice, the one thing that I want to leave you with after this whole series isn't Christ is enough. The truth is, Christ is more than enough. He's more than what any of us deserves. He's more than what any of us longs for. He's more than enough for our life here and for eternity at his side. You know, we do need more of one thing. We need more Jesus. Because Jesus is more than enough. Amen? Holy Lord, we come before you now. Maybe some of us are feeling a little bad about ourselves. Maybe some of us are thankful that we haven't fallen for all the traps of marketing. We have this humble realization that there's so many things in the world that draws our attention away from you. And we don't want that to happen. We don't mean for that to happen, but sometimes it does happen. We drift from you. We fall into addiction. We concentrate on what we think is better and fall into adultery. We're dissatisfied with our lives. But I pray right now that your Holy Spirit overwhelm us with the love of Christ. That we might know that our lives are complete in his name. That our lives are complete as we stop focusing on what the world has to offer and start focusing on what Christ offers. We have your word before us. We have this amazing miracle offer of prayer. We have other believers that you've put into our lives to guide us, to help us, to love us. So many people that are sharing the love of Christ daily. So Lord, right here, right now, I pray that we all silence what the world is calling for. We know that you are enough. You are more than enough. In you, we need nothing. Without you, we'll never be satisfied. Lord, I pray that we just turn to you as we have need. We turn to you as we have want. We turn to you knowing that you are more than enough. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.